Scott Wesley Brown, hallelujah, Jesus is born. Thinking of our friend Jerome in Knapp this morning. I hope you're up and at him and enjoying that one, Jerome. One of his favorites as we come up on 5:45, time for the best 5 minutes of the day here. Last time before Christmas, Jason Kanz.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Almost done with another year of doing this.
Yeah, I know it. It's become a habit. Hopefully a good one.
It has. It has. I think it's a good habit.
Yeah.
Yep.
So here we are. I don't know. When I read the forecast, this is certainly one of the more unusual Christmases as far as these numbers. It's going to be like 54 on Christmas Day.
Wow. That's really warm. Yeah, I actually didn't even wear a coat to work yesterday. And it just feels off.
No, let me take that back. 54 on Christmas Eve, 46 on Christmas Day. Okay.
All right. That's better.
Yeah.
That's better. Probably still no snow, though, I would imagine.
No, there is no. Let me see. Long range. Oh, there is the S word. On Tuesday night, there's a 50% chance of rain and snow and a 20% chance of more of the same on Wednesday. So.
All right. So something in the forecast.
Yeah. It's.
Okay.
Again, there's so much rain that if it was snow, it could be piling up. So.
Right. Indeed.
Yeah. We could call this, we could change the name of this segment to Weather Talk, I guess.
We could. Yeah. I think we talk about more interesting topics than weather, but it does come up often.
What I want to talk about, let's talk about small talk. Like, what's your approach on, how do you feel about small talk? What's your take on it?
You know, I think it's important in terms of kind of normal social relationships. I think we all engage in small talk to some degree.
Yeah.
One of the things I appreciate about you and some other friends of mine is that we don't just stay on small talk. We often go into much deeper things. But, you know, I think talking about sports or weather or what's going on in the world, I think that's just part of our normal discourse.
Right. No, I know there's people close to me. I've heard people express a strong dislike. It's like, I don't like small talk. But I gotta say, I don't know. I view it as a pathway to deeper. And again, there's times like Saturday. You really let your hair down at the breakfast table, and you let us. Well, as much as you let your hair down as a bald guy, but you you let us know. You can kind of share, and we go into much deeper conversations. But
yeah. But I think it's true. I think even back to when we went to Houston, you and Gary Moon in the van, and you could have talked about really deep theological things, but you talked about sports, and it really, I think, fostered a connection between the two of you, and I think that was a beautiful thing to witness.
Yeah, well, thanks. Yeah, because you probably knew him. You'd read more of his books, right? You'd read his book, Becoming Dallas Willard, and I hadn't. But it turns out he was from Atlanta and was a Braves fan. And so, you will occasionally drop some sports nuggets my direction.
Yeah, I think I sent you something yesterday about Tom Chambers, who was a basketball player. And so... Yeah, I just get intrigued by that stuff. I don't follow it closely, but I do enjoy reading up on that sometimes.
Very quick sports side note is that Shohei Ohtani signed a $700 million 10-year contract at the Dodgers, but he was deferring $680 million of it. Said, you'd only have to pay me $2 million a year because I want you to have money to bring in other good players because I want to win a title. And now they've signed a Japanese pitcher to a 12-year $325 million deal. I'm like, the Dodgers are going to be their own all-star team.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing that they have that much money to go around for that.
Jason, things are wrong in the world, even in sports. So.
Yes, true.
Yeah.
True enough.
Just look at college football. All right. We have one last passage to read. It's Luke 2:33-35 here, heading into Christmas.
Yeah, it says, Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, "This child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall, but he will be a joy to many others. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul.
Mm-hmm. And what you write in Letters to the Beloved about those three verses is Mary and Joseph marveled at Simeon's words. Of course, they knew Jesus was the chosen one, but like all Jews, their upbringing influenced their understanding of who the Messiah would be. Simeon blessed the young family and said to Mary, "Listen, this child's effect upon Israel will be more profound than you can imagine. Though God sent him to set everything right, his life will also reveal the pride and misunderstandings many people hold. Many people will oppose him, revealing their hardened hearts. Mary, know this. You will witness his impact, and it will be hard for you to see the hatred that others have for your own son." You close by saying this: Jesus is the Messiah, and he's my child, but he also was Mary's son. Like any loving mother, witnessing her child's suffering would torture her soul. Never forget that Jesus was entirely God, but that he was also completely human, a real person in a real time and place.
Yeah, I think the profound impact of the life of Jesus as a person was incomparable. I mean, it's just amazing to me. And, you know, I think about that as a parent. I can't imagine witnessing my kid go through what Jesus went through, either in life or death.
I think what really stands out to me there is that latter part. I mean, and it's a continual challenge, right? Two sides of a coin that you say, kind of never forget that Jesus was entirely God, but that he was also completely human, a real person in a real time and place. I mean, that sentence, yep. I'm going to underline it. I mean, that's the daily challenge, isn't it?
It for sure absolutely is the challenge.
Mm-hmm. All right. Merry Christmas. We'll see you tomorrow morning, huh?
Very good. Talk
all right.
to you then.
I'm bringing my gift for you. All right, thanks. I got at least one present for him. Our friend Jody and Aliva shared a memory yesterday, but she's got another one.
Hey, good morning, Mark and Caleb. Jody Welskoff from Aliva. I have a Christmas memory. I grew up on a farm, and my dad also worked at Uniroyal, so he was really busy. And we didn't have a lot of money back then, and so my dad would always go out into the woods and find a Christmas tree and bring it in. And my mom was just having a fit because it had a big gap on one side. It was like there were no branches. And my dad was kind of an engineer by trade and very creative. So he went out and cut a bunch of pine branches off another tree and came in and he drilled holes and he stuck them in the side of the tree. And it was a Christmas to remember, and mom was happy, and we didn't have a big gap in the side of our tree. So that's kind of a funny, sweet, thoughtful Christmas memory from the bean house down in Oliva. Christmas on the farm was always fun. Well, you have a good Christmas up there. Love you all. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jody. And she did a great job sharing Dear Sister and Lord, Julie Walters' celebration of life was yesterday at Valley Brook Church in downtown Eau Claire, and there was an open mic time, and Jody did a great job sharing about our friend, and we'll miss her. Well, before we get to people's favorite Christmas memories, and phone yours in at 715-396-1670 for a chance at that four-pack of Crumble cookies, the drawing before the end of the show, our own gift exchange off-air, Caleb, and you kind of blew me away with your Swenson sampler platter this morning.
Well, this is the thing. Anything that looks good on here is probably something that my wife made.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know what? Actually, there are three items on here. There's five items on the plate, the Swenson sampler platter, that and three of them I made. Uh-huh. So you have the peanut butter balls, uh-huh. The classic, two. Then you have puppy chow next to that.
Nice.
And then fresh made last night, some fudge.
Wow.
So
I didn't know you could do fudge, too. Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of deep dish fudge. I hadn't made
your
it for a long time.
Your specialty seems to be desserts.
Yeah, yeah. I know. And, yeah, so it's pretty thick fudge, too. Hopefully it tastes all right. I did sample a little bit last night and was pretty pleased with it. So,
yeah.
We've got that. But then my wife made the church window cookies that we talked about.
Yeah.
And so, again, the multicolored marshmallows. You got the coconut flakes on the outside. So it's kind of a tube or a log. Mm-hmm. And then you slice them off. And then these are some wonderful meringues that she made, which, again, goes beyond the scope of my abilities.
Those are hard. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she
very
made
light,
those.
But
yeah, the nice little crunch and stuff too. So again, they look gorgeous. They are gorgeous, just like my wife.
I'm going to take a picture of it and put it in the Wake Up Show Facebook group and say, folks, this looks too good to eat. I mean, the platter just looks too good
to
eat.
But I hope you will eat it because I want to hear what you think.
Yes, exactly.
So we'll get to more of your Christmas voicemails, but we're going to play just one right now from Crystal, but we'd love yours at 715-396-1670, a favorite Christmas memory. Here's one from our friend Crystal from Jump River.
Good morning, this is Crystal. I just wanted to call and share my favorite Christmas memory quickly. So it was Christmas of 1996. It was my freshman year in high school. And my mom had ended up sick. It was late fall, but she had required a brain surgery. And so she had gone through surgery. Everything seemed to be going okay. We were able to bring her home. And then she ended up with a really bad infection, requiring her to be rushed back down to Marshfield and hospitalized. During that time, she had two more major brain surgeries. And things seemed to go better with the last two, but it was creeping up on Christmas really quickly. And my hope and prayer was to be able to be home together as a family and celebrating Christmas. And so we just continued to pray for her healing and that she would make it home for Christmas. We were able to bring her home on December 23rd, 1996, which was really awesome. We didn't have much for gifts, and that was okay. It was by far, hands down, probably the best Christmas that I can remember, and just realizing how fragile life is and how much we have in our daily life to be thankful for. And those that we have around us and the time that we share is the best gift that we could ever have here on earth outside of the love of Christ and just his provision and care for all of us and in all the many ways that he blesses us and shows us his love from day to day. So thank you very much. I wish everybody a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thank you, Crystal. Christmas memories being shared on the listener line in your own voice. Making you eligible for that drawing for the four-pack of Crumbl cookies, 715-396-1670. Interesting, Caleb, how many of these memories have pain or heartache or challenge or difficulty tied in on the front end, you know?
Yeah, and again, that's not a requirement at all. We'd love to hear your favorite Christmas memory, but sometimes, man, isn't it a testimony to others when you say, wow, I can look back now, what the hard times taught me, that God's faithfulness endured. And he, again, remains true to all of his promises. We're going to hear that Toby Mac and Tasha Layton song a little bit later on this hour, Christmas Hits Different. And maybe you're walking through that really hard time right now, and you're saying, I cannot see any light in this. It just feels dark. But rest assured, even when you're not hearing anything from God, when it's just silent, just think about that silent night so many years ago, 2,000 years ago, that exploded with the angelic light saying a Savior has come. That's what we hold on to, and that's what we trust in. Your Christmas station, WWIB, here's Reliant K. And also, lest we forget to mention, Howell did have a present for me, and I just cut him off. So.
Yeah, no, it's homemade summer sausage, so I did it again this year. A little different recipe, so anyhow, it's waiting in the fridge for you.
Thank you so much. Just because this is our last show before Christmas does not mean there is any dereliction of duty on the WIB Wake Up Show. And so it is our Friday morning tradition around this time to get you caught up on everything you might have missed in news, sports, politics, and pop culture. We do it in condensed form because we know you're busy, especially this time of year. We bring it to you now. It's called Headlines, and here we go.
Caleb, a couple of Scottish adventurers have become the very first to drive all the way from the North Pole to the South Pole in an electric car.
Yeah, because when you're freezing at the North Pole, the first thing you think is, let's take a road trip to the South Pole.
Yeah, right.
Approximately 13 tons of TGI Friday's boneless chicken bites have been recalled due to possible contamination.
Yeah, the recalled batch has too many nutrients.
That's a problem.
North Korea launched a building project of hotels and water parks because it wants to become a tourist destination.
North Korea. Come for the water park, stay because you're not allowed to leave.
Yikes.
A Florida man has almost 2,500 VHS copies of the movie Titanic.
He's not just collecting VHS tapes, he's building a VHS berth.
Look out.
Speaking of large ships, Carnival Cruise Lines now has two ships with a roller coaster.
A roller coaster for people who don't have the patience to wait to get seasick.
Oh,
Research shows you only have 27 seconds to make a good first impression.
Guess I should stop leading with, do you believe in aliens?
Maybe skip that.
And finally this morning, the latest statistics say that a startling 91% of the world's plastic doesn't get recycled.
Unfortunately, 100% of TV programming does.
Ah.
Those are your headlines, and now you're all caught up. Well, let's dive a little bit further into the well of your Christmas memories here on WWIB, where we are family. It's the WIB Wake Up Show. Caleb and Havo with you. We've been inviting you yesterday and today to give us a call, leave a voicemail with a favorite Christmas memory, 715-396-1670. We have a little incentive. We're going to give somebody a four-pack of Crumble cookies from Crumble in Eau Claire. Here's one of the memories that we heard.
Hello, this is Shane, and this is my Christmas story. And I must have been all under 12, and my parents decided we were going to do a tradition of cutting a tree down. So we went and cut a tree down. My dad tied it to the roof of our minivan, and we started going home. And a semi-truck passed us in the other lane, and it ripped the tree right off the roof, and it fell on the road. And my siblings and I all started crying, bawling hysterical, saying, there's no Christmas, there's no Christmas. My dad was able to get the tree, throw it back on the roof, tie it down, and we brought it home and decorated a busted-up Christmas tree that year. All right, thanks.
Thank you, Shane. Again, what a memory, too. We just love hearing from you. We are family, and we love hearing from our family. Here's another one from Jennifer.
Hi, my name is Jennifer. I live by Galesville. My Christmas memory is really long ago. I'm in my 60s now. When we were kids, our dad died when we were little, and one year we didn't have a Christmas tree. And we couldn't find anyone to sell us when it was Christmas Eve. So my brother, who didn't have a license, and all of us other five kids went in the car to Greenfield Park in West Dallas. And we snuck around and we got a branch. And we brought it back to my mom. And she put it in a pot. And it was the best Christmas tree we ever had. Even though we broke the law, I'm sure we're forgiven now. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Time for the best of the week on WWIB.
I'm also very distracted because Misty, our friend from Avenue Orchard and the Creation Kitchen, just brought in this massive platter full of cookies for us. And I'm really, really distracted because these are gorgeous and there are tons of them.
Somehow that got us onto Christian punk bands. And so it's I'm there with my friend, his wife, and his mom. And so all of a sudden they're like, oh, yeah, the group One Bad Pig. And I'm like, I've never heard of them.
Sure. They have an album called Swine Flu.
What? Yeah. Okay. Are you serious?
I am, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Well, you know that. Then there's another Christian punk band, did you know of, Undercover?
I don't know them, no.
And then his mom, amidst the conversation, his mom just says, do you like Lefsa? And I'm like, is that a Christian punk band? So... Yeah.
Yes, from northern Minnesota.
And apparently their opening act is Lutefisk. So
yes, that's exactly right.
This is from Amanda.
Hi, I am going to see my parents and Holcomb for the holidays. I can't wait to see them for Christmas. I hope you have a great day. Thanks. Bye.
From Marquardt Motors Certified Service.
And how about that, Amanda? Just that simple, just that easy. You left your voicemail and you were randomly selected to win one of those $100 Quick Trip gift cards.
Big announcement from OneFest this morning. We had it for you after our first song in the 6 o'clock hour, 10 minutes after the news broke on Facebook that OneFest, their fourth artist, we knew Jeremy Camp, the Friday night headliner, Toby Mac, the Saturday headliner, 10th Avenue North, reconvening the group, getting the band back together for OneFest, August of 2024, and Rhett Walker is coming. We learned that this morning, shared that earlier in the hour here on WWIB, so that's exciting.
This was an email that we got at studio@wwib.com from overseas as a response. Again, months later, you know, there's a delay in all these things to the We've Got Your Back campaign and those care packages that were sent out. And this was just, I think this came in Sunday morning, Halvo, and it was just really, really neat to see.
It was really powerful.
So this came from Rick, and Rick is in the U.S. Army. He says currently deployed somewhere in Europe. Again, can't give more specifics for his and his unit's safety, but he was responding to us because he received one of the care packages that was sent through the We've Got Your Back campaign. So Rick says this: I'm in the U.S. Army and currently deployed somewhere in Europe. I recently met a fellow Wisconsinite who is also assigned to our mission, and he blessed me with a Wisconsin care package. Little did I know that it would be from WWIB, which I grew up listening to.
Huh.
Rick says the package is much appreciated, and it definitely gave me the pick-me-up I needed. I'm so glad it found its way to me. Thank you, and God bless. And after a week, another 3.4 down. The total is 46.8 pounds lost.
Wow. You surpassed 46.
Thank you again to all my friends at Livia Weight Control Center in Eau Claire.
The best of the week.
Thank you, Havel, for putting that together. We've got another drum roll to do here because we've been soliciting Christmas memories. Thank you so much, everybody who's left those. And from today and tomorrow, we've drawn from all the calls, and the winner of the 4-pack of crumble cookies is Kurt from Eau Claire.
Way to go, Kurt.
I believe his memory, if I recall, was about a bike, getting a bike as a kid. So special.